Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TaylorMade, the show where you ask the questions and you get your answers tailor-made by Hamline University head football coach Chip Taylor. In this week's episode, the coach talks to us about the big contest against Augsburg this week. He discusses the impressive play of Carson Reinert, and a fan tries to set up her aunt with the coach's dad. So let's join TaylorMade.
So let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
You know what? Team updates. You know, our guys are in good spirits, ready to roll for the final week of the 2019 season. So, again, I've been at some places where you get into the last week and, you know, guys are hanging their heads. They don't want to practice, and we had a spirited practice last night, and guys are running around. So just excited for the Augsburg week and ready to roll. So.
Well, let's talk about this last Saturday's game. A very good St. John's team. Your thoughts on the contest?
I mean, I knew it was going to be pretty tough going into it. Super, super talented team, very well coached, a lot of tradition. I mean, they did a good job in all three phases of the game, and they're solid, man. It'd be interesting to see how far they go into the playoffs, and be good to kind of watch them and see how they do. Now they're going to be facing teams that are just like them, so it'll be good. It'll be interesting to watch them go. So.
As as the game was kind of going along, and you're looking at this team, how are you feeling about how they progressed as the season has gone along?
You know what? In some points, it progressed really well, and in some points, didn't. You know, it just was playing so many young kids on defense that I can see how that, you know, see how the game gets a little bit out of hand with St. John's. And then, you know, we got a new quarterback. Receivers, for the most part, are all back. So we progressed offensively in some facets, but there's some facets that we didn't, you know. So it's just going to come down to, you know, we got to get through and win this game. And then the offseason, man, football is an offseason sport. And that's where you develop a lot of your foundation for what the year is going to look like. You know, I know the fans only get a chance to see a real snapshot of 10 Saturdays, but, you know, this is an offseason sport, not an in-season sport, if that makes sense. So we progressed in some areas and we didn't in some areas. And we got a lot of work to do, so.
One player I wanted to mention was Carson Reinert. We hadn't really talked a lot about him, but boy, he sure has developed into quite a playmaker for you.
Yeah, Carson is doing a good job. And, you know, I remember in the recruiting process, I told him, I said, well, can't be scared to roll your sleeves up because this is going to be hard work. And, hey, Carson, probably going to be playing a lot. He kind of would always look at me like, you know, he didn't believe me, but he's played in every game, man. And he's started, he started every one of them. So he's going to be a good player. Again, do you want freshmen playing a lot? No. But that's where we're at, and we'll probably have a few freshmen on the field next year. But once we get, you know, classes back to back to back, those guys ain't going to start seeing the field here, juniors and seniors, like the really good MIAC teams do. And you watch some of these teams in the MIAC, how they progress and how many seniors they have. It's interesting. I've been doing a study on that and just looking to see how many freshmen on a team, how many seniors are playing, what's the total roster. So we'll get there. We will get there. But Carson's doing a great job, so I'm super excited about him.
This week you take on Augsburg. Your thoughts on that contest?
Well, again, man, Coach Hagee has been there for 15 years. He does a good job bringing in talented kids at Augsburg. You know, Quinn Frizzell is a kid that I actually recruited when I was a defensive coordinator here. I liked him a lot. He's a good quarterback. Knows the scheme. Can move. He's mobile. So, you know, that's always, you know, whenever you're playing, again, everybody's got quarterbacks in the league. So he's going to be a pose a problem. They have talented receivers. I like the running back. The offensive line, Augsburg's offensive line has always been traditionally very well coached, man. So that'll be a challenge for us. And then defensively, it's funny, you know, their defensive coordinator, Coach Cooper, he and I shared the office 2015 season. So I feel like we know each other very well, and he's doing a really good job, and they're super sound defensively. So that's going to be, it's going to be a tough challenge, man. And then obviously throwing that as rivalry week, you know, we play for a traveling trophy, which is a hammer. It's going to be a tough one, man. This is not a game where I can't speak for them. I know we can't go into this game and say, oh, we got this one. We got this chalked as a W. You can't do it, man. We have to go out there and execute and play is what we have to do. So,
I would expect that both of these teams are coming in here really dying to win this game. So pretty intense game, I would figure.
Yeah, man, it's always been like that, man. No matter if we play them early in the year, you play them late. These last two seasons have been late. And last year we went into the game, you know, 0-9. They went into the game, I think, 1-something. This year we're both 1-8. So I mean, yeah, man, we'll be fighting and clawing to make sure we can to see who can get a win. It doesn't look good on paper, but this is going to be a battle, man. This is going to be a battle. It'll be a battle.
the last game for your seniors, I know kind of a big moment for you as well. So what are your takeaways that you have from this group?
You know, a group of guys that when we were in transition here as far as me becoming the head coach, you know, hold this class together, bringing in 23 of them and only 8 of them graduate, you know, got a lot of respect for those guys, man, because it wasn't easy. And the thing about it is their first year they saw, quote-unquote, success, right? You know, we had our first non-losing season, we went 5-5. So in their minds, they should be thinking, man, every year is going to be like that, and it hasn't, and it hasn't been like that. So for them to stick it out, to battle, to keep fighting, to lay the groundwork for these classes, the freshman and the sophomore, I got a lot of respect for these guys. So I want to see them go out and play well, and we want to get a win on the last game of the year. So,
what do you feel they take away from their time with the program?
Well, you know, I can tell you this, man. I know for a fact that they've been treated the right way. They've been treated the right way. They've been coached the right way. Have we gotten all the wins? No. But we treat them like men. We held them accountable. We gave them some, you know, we tried our best to make sure we're not teaching football, but life lessons. And I think that they're going to leave Hamlin, and when this will always be home for them. You know, that's the environment that I wanted to be able, that we want to set here at Hamlin. That this is home. You always come back and you always think positive about the place, and you know, you play hard. No matter what the scoreboard is, you're gonna get punches and swings from Hamlin University. And I feel like our guys carry themselves in that manner. So,
well, let's head to fan questions this week, and we start with Ben, who says, "Coach, how did it come about that we are playing this game at Concordia?"
Well, Ben, man, let me not so fast. You know, we had a slight change in the venue.
Oh, it is.
What happened was, hell yeah, we had a slight change of venue. So, backstory on that: back in September, get a call from their AD. Calls our AD, said we need to play the game at CSP because they're putting their bubble up, and didn't think too much of it. Last couple weeks, we're practicing at 5:30, 6 o'clock. I'm looking like, holy smokes, what is it going to be like at 7 o'clock on a couple Saturdays from now? And then last Friday, we have a good relationship. I reached out to him and said, "Coach, you want to just play this game at 1 o'clock in Hamlin?" He was all for it. At 1 o'clock in Hamlin, and, you know, it'll be good, man. It'll be a good contest, man. I think it's the best thing for Hamlin football. And I think it's the best thing for Augsburg football, man. Those kids don't need to be out at 7 o'clock at night playing those football games. So,
it's not in favor of a cold, dark, windy game.
No, thank you.
Next up is Jack, who says, "Who do you see in your freshman or sophomore classes that you think is going to be a real star for this team in a year or two?"
Wow. I have to start with Tristan Thomas. He's already budding, and he can grow more. He's a sophomore now. Eli Danielson is a starting left tackle. He's played, he'll, knock on wood, after tomorrow, he will have had 20 starts under his belt as an offensive tackle, which you don't see much. Terrell Jones, as a freshman, I think he's going to be a big-time star. Caden Smith, defensively, is going to be a big-time star. Carson Reinert, defensively, big-time star. Caleb Winter, busted up his hand, but going to be a really big time star. I think even we got a guy, Big Mel, Melvin K, out of Apple Valley. He's going to be a big time star. You know, I feel really, really good about where we're at freshman wise. Ryder Hutt, sophomore receiver, was hampered with a hamstring all year. He's going to be catches everything. I mean, super fired up about, you know, the freshmen and sophomores that we're working with, and we're so far ahead on our recruiting from last year. I mean, I feel good about the guys we're going to bring in the 2020. We're going to be okay, man. The trick is just keeping them. Got to keep them all around, man. Got to. So those are the guys that I feel like are going to be really, you're going to hear those names a lot. So,
Jack would also like to know, when can a high school student officially commit to Hamlin?
Shucks, man. That's a tricky question. Technically, if we run into a high school kid in the summertime as a sophomore, and they get on campus and they like it, they can commit then. What usually happens typically is, you know, not until their senior year are kids committing at this level, you know, because you got to see financial aid and you got to make sure that they're admittable. So I'd say, when can they commit? They can commit as early as whenever they want. They can commit as freshmen if they come and they love it, but that's not the reality. I mean, you got a Division III is no athletic scholarship, so you got to find out what the bottom line cost is. So we see most of our commitments, before the season's over, before the senior seasons are over. We'll see a few, and then a lot of them will come in January.
Zach would like to know, what Hamlin sports do you like to watch besides football?
That's a good one. I really enjoy watching our women's hockey team play. They can skate, man. Those girls skate hard. They're coached well by Coach Darwitz, who's competed in the Olympics. I mean, so she has her team really, really, really humming. They came in second last year, second in the country. I mean, they were in the national championship game and lost a tough one. So, I mean, it's good. I always like to watch them compete.
Brad says, Coach, you seem pretty irritated about participation trophies. Do you think they are ruining sports?
I don't want to come off like a bad guy, but not irritated. I think it taints the water a little bit, man. I think kids need to understand that, you know, it's okay to not get a trophy because you weren't the best, you know. So I'm not irritated. I don't want to say hurt, but we see a lot of that when we get the guys as college guys, man. You know, they just always looking for something, or they always think they need to get something because they participate. And that's not the way, man. It's not the way it works in the real world, man. You either win or you lose. So
Ron says, kids playing football later when they are like 14, is that stunting their development, or is it more important to simply learn fundamentals of the game when you were younger, so playing flag football is beneficial?
I think there's validity in playing flag football. I really do, man. For up until about, you know, I think 10, 11 football is good, and it's good to put the pads on 13, 14. I think that's a universal, safe way to do it. I mean, again, I don't have any study on it, just my common sense, you know. I put the pads on at 6 years old, man. And then now, obviously, I didn't go all the way through. I played like as I was six. Then we moved to South Jersey from Philadelphia and couldn't find football there at the point where maybe look hard enough. So I got into soccer and I got back into football fifth grade. I got back into fifth football and played it all the way through. So, I mean, I took two or three years off, but I think it's, you know, I think it's validity of, you know, waiting a little bit longer, less hits. But then I think it's literally the validity too, and getting into the game, and it's a way of life. Football's a way of life, man. The grind of practicing every day. Like, I remember going and being in elementary school and couldn't wait to go home and go to practice, man. Football practice, but you had to do your homework first before you go to practice. I mean, it was cool things, man. That I have a lot of good memories about, you know, doing football at that early level. So, kind of depends on the kid too.
Awesome. Paul says, "Wow, Coach, you sure called that Penn State losing to Minnesota correctly. How did you see that one coming?"
Man, well, I tell you what, in a nutshell, Coach Fleck used to work for Coach Greg Schiano out at Rutgers. When I was working at Bucknell, the head coach I was working for, Joe Susan, worked for Greg Schiano at Rutgers, too. So a lot of the things that those guys are doing over at Minnesota, you know, when I go over to practice, I'm like, wow, it's very familiar. And the way that he's, you know, he coaches his team and he's got those kids believing, and, you know, the culture is a big thing for him, and he's an excellent motivator. So I just knew, I shouldn't say I knew, I just had a good feeling that, you know, Coach Fleck would have those guys ready to roll at home. And you know what? That's a lot of hard years of work, and it paid off for him. And he's got the right kind of kids in there, and they're believing, and they executed, and they played well. So I'm happy for that program, man. I watch it from afar. And it's just, you know, I'd like to see him win against Iowa and keep it rolling. It's good to live in a city or a town where, you know, the buzz is good with if it's a pro team, or the Gopher football team is doing well in basketball. You know, I'm not from Minnesota, but I live here, so you follow those things, and you want to see people do well, man. It's good for Minnesota.
Yeah, I think it's been a long time since somebody said the Minnesota Gopher football team was good, so that's
man,
a good thing.
That's an awesome thing.
We have a couple from Hillary. The first is, Coach, you're in such good shape. Do you ever eat junk food?
Hillary, I guess it depends on what you consider junk food. Junk food. Yeah, you know what, Hillary, I try to keep, like, I used to always have, like, potato chips at the house. I cut that out. Junk food. You know, I'm not a big candy guy. I'm not a big soda guy. I don't drink a lot of soda. Never did, really. I don't know. And then fast food, I don't really mess with too much. I don't mess with the fast food. I'd rather go home and cook my meals personally, and that's just me. And it's kind of a little bit of a release for me, too, you know, like, cooking is pretty cool, man. I enjoy it, man. I really enjoy cooking. So, yeah, I don't think I indulge too much in the junk food, man. You know, I do, that coming from being from the East Coast, though, I do enjoy cheesesteaks. So I'm glad that I kind of live out here, because I've eaten a lot of cheesesteaks, man. That's junk food right there, man. I can't know those good cheesesteaks. So, and I found a place out here that actually has one that's close to Philly. It's a place in Dinkytown. So I've been staying away from that place, too. So it's all good.
Hillary says, also, is your dad single? If he is like you, he would be perfect for my aunt.
No, my dad is happily married as of 40.
Wow.
40 years, man. So, no, man, my dad and mom have been together 40 years. He was actually just up here for the Carlton game, and he always likes to come up when it's not too cold. So, yeah, sorry, I apologize. I will definitely pass the message along that you think that he's easy on the eyes, though. I will definitely pass that message along.
Awesome. And why is it good to be a Piper?
Well, again, man, anytime you get a chance and an opportunity to get another Mayak game, you know, we're super excited about that. You know, we have a worthy opponent coming in, and it's a rivalry game. You know, our kids are going to class and performing in the classroom. So, I mean, there's a lot of room to be a Piper, and just super excited to watch our guys compete this week.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
All right, Rob, thank you.
We want to thank Coach Taylor for joining us on TaylorMade. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Hamlin coach, please send them to us at ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. That's ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. Please have your questions to us by Tuesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on TaylorMade.